Blog Talk Radio.
I'm happy to be here tonight with you guys.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, Martez, that's good, that's good. And also here we have my very good and close personal friend, Mr. Charlie Erickson. And now, Mr. Charlie Erickson, before you say anything, will you remind the people at home about what you said to me last week about this job that I currently have? What did you say to me last week?
I said you're better in moderation.
And I took the job. That's right. I'm the moderator here tonight. Because, you know, we got to keep things moving. And in that essence of that sense, we're going to get things moving right now. Joining us later will be our good friend, Mr. Steve Aaron. He'll be calling in. He's doing something, inflating volleyballs or something. I don't know what he does with his spare time. He doesn't show up. I think he makes things up. Anyway, he'll call in later, but he's the only one. I threw the phones away. We're not taking any callers. We're all working on a series of matching walkie-talkies that I got at Toys R Us. And also, it's possible, but I doubt it because he didn't call in last time. We may hear from the turtle, but he doesn't have walkie-talkie, but he's got an elaborate set of strings and cans. So, with that being said, who wants to start off AEW, and they're nothing? Last time it was WrestleMania, that was Martez's love. Let's start off with the Swink, because the Swink is in love with the All Elite Wrestling. Swink, tell us, how would you caress it?
I'm not going to divulge that information.
Ooh! Martez, you know what that means? He does caress it.
Definitely. Now, Macho, before Swink start talking, I do got to give him credit. You know,
he's got to get some credit.
Swink, he's a team player, okay? He's a team player. He did a WWE WrestleMania show. So I got to give him credit for doing that. So I thought it would be a good idea for us to do this show. So I wanted to give Swink his flowers before we disagree on a few things.
Oh, man. Now, that's right. This was all your idea, Martez. And look at that. Martez is actually using backstage wrestling lingo.
I'm trying.
So, Twink, yeah, this is no WWE, all AEW. So you can relax. You don't have to be as furious as you are. You can turn it down to 8 or 7.
Oh, I'm sure I'll get riled up at some point here.
Now, first of all, let's mention real quick, I mentioned it a second ago, this is the 5th anniversary of AEW, and 5 years ago, their event, first Double or Nothing, took place right here in the same exact place. Swink, how would you like to wisp philosophical and memorabilia like that, for what I just said?
Well, AEW, as you mentioned, started in 2019. Under, of course, Tony Khan and, of course, the members of the Elite, Cody Rhodes, Hangman and Page, the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, or Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, as they like to be known now.
Those jerks!
And Chris Jericho was also involved, Jim Ross. All of them were there at the press conference they held in, I believe it was January, announcing the Double or Nothing event, announcing the formation of AEW. And on that very first show, the main event was Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. And also you had the Young Bucks in a match as well.
And I believe John Moxley showed up and pile-drove Kenny Omega onto a stack of ginormous poker chips.
He did. He made the jump to AEW. A lot of people knew that he was going to be leaving the WWE, and they figured that he was going to head to AEW, and they were correct. And he made his debut on that show. I believe that Cody Rhodes wrestled his brother on that show as well.
Yeah, it was a bloody nightmare affair.
Oh, yeah.
And here we are.
Considered by many still to be one of the best AEW matches of all time.
You can't beat brother versus brother. Although I never liked wrestling my brother. He would, when we were in, he had me in a headlock, he'd whisper poetry into my ear, and it drove me crazy.
Oh, yeah, the Young Bucks, they wrestled the Lucha Bros on that show real quick. I just wanted to get that in there.
And 5 years later, here we are. My heart is full of wrestling joy watching AEW. It's like a dream come true, seeing all this great wrestling and all this fun entertainment and having all these interpromotional action, and I just love it, and it's what I dreamed of. And after a barren wasteland of whatever, my little bit of wrestling, drip, no pun intended, Martez, you apologist. All we had for two decades was a little drip of wrestling, but now 5 years ago we have a whole flood. Yeah, the dams have burst, and here we are. Let's start off big time. Now, this isn't just a regular pay-per-view with one main event. This has a triple main event, which I just found out about, so I'm telling you about it now here, too. Swink. Three matches in that triple threat. I'll give you the opportunity to start wherever you want to, and then we'll work our way down the card. If we follow the same timeline we followed during the last show, we should be able to get through two matches.
Let's just start with the AEW World Championship match, and then we'll do the women's match, and then we'll do Anarchy in the Arena. How about that?
I like it. That sounds good. Swink should be the moderator next time, Marquez.
Hey, well, you know, I do have experience hosting shows.
He does, a little bit of experience hosting shows. Later on, we should plug some other shows. I think, like Steven Turtle, they have shows. I never bother to listen to them, though.
Yeah, the Hour of Power.
Don't let them hear you say that.
The sour hour of Steve whining about his bitter life, and then Turtle. I don't know. It's called My Thoughts from the Aquarium. I don't know what it's called.
The guerrilla position civil war is coming.
That's right, yeah. At least we're better than all of us combined and separately are better than, what was that, JoJo and Snafu, who used to do that show back on Blog Talk years ago.
Okay. let's not remember that.
So here we are, the main event of the triple main event, in my opinion, the AEW World Championship. That's in Swink's house. Swink, we're knocking. What you got to say?
Whose house? It's Swerve's house.
Swink's house!
Swerve's house.
So Swerve Strickland defending the AEW World Championship against Christian Cage, the leader of the Patriarch. And so the way this match came about is that after the Elite, Matthew Nicholas Jackson and Kazuchika Okada, even though Okada didn't actually put his hands on him, they attacked Tony Khan and then assumed control of the show, like they were Harbinger and Mass Effect, assuming control. But they assumed control of the show and decided they were going to book the main event for Double or Nothing and choose Swerve Strickland's opponent for him. Now, instead of choosing one of their own, which really didn't make any sense, why didn't they just pick Jack Perry? Instead, they went with Christian Cage, who made his presence felt, attacked Strickland, and off we went to the races here with the build to this match. I think the build has been pretty good so far. In it, we've seen the Mogul Embassy turn on Swerve Strickland, which you had to see coming because Strickland is now a babyface. I think it's pretty obvious. There was a time there where he was kind of like in between. Is he a face? Is he a heel? I think we firmly established him as a babyface now, especially with Mogul Embassy attacking him. But he got his revenge on the Mogul Embassy in the build to this match. Also, Nick Wayne, not forgetting what Swerve Strickland and AR Fox did to him in his home months ago. So he smashed a picture of Swerve's family over his head. So, I really like the build to this match. Christian Cage is I believe, been great so far in AEW. Everything he's done has been fantastic, and I've always preferred him over Adam Copeland anyway. So I think this will be a pretty good match, but it's pretty obvious to me that Strickland is going to come out on top in this one.
I think Strickland himself said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he's honored that Tony Khan and AEW has bestowed this upon him, that they trust him enough to be champion, and I think he kind of wants to be an honorable champion or as honorable as Swerve can be, so he's trying to be a nice guy. Is it working for you, Martez? Is it working for you? This Christian kind of came out of left field. What do you think? Are you going to church or Christian?
I'll try to be. But check this out. I'm not here to be a negative or overly critical, but Swerve is just not doing it for me. Swerve is champion. It's just not moving the needle, as they say. It's absolutely voided for me. If I was them, I would give it to Christian. I know that's not going to happen, but I think Christian is fit for that job. Christian is fit to be champion right now. For the simple fact, I don't think Swerve is gaining any buzz by being champion. You know, when I started hearing about Swerve potentially being champion, I thought, oh, that'll be cool. That'll bring more eyes to AEW. But it's just not doing it for me. It's just not doing it for me at all. I also feel like Swerve is watered down. I just feel like they've done a bad job of promoting him as champion. And again, I'm not trying to be overly critical or negative, but Swerve is just not doing it for me. But obviously, he's going to pick up the victory. But if I was booking the show, which I'm not, I would give it to Christian. Because as a fan, as somebody that books on the couch, I feel like Swerve is a transitional champion anyway. I feel like Swerve is a placeholder anyway for maybe like a Ospreay or Adam Cole down the road. I already feel that way. But I also feel like, I think the first Dynamite after he became champion, He didn't get a chance to speak. He didn't get a celebration. But I think Willow Nightingale got a celebration. I think Chris Jericho had a chance to get some type of celebration. But your world champion, though, I just thought that was a bad look against me and Macho. I'm not trying to be overly critical, but that killed it for me that night that they didn't give him that TV time to gloat as a champion. But instead, he forgot the gentleman that he took on, and forgive me, that's how much I watch AEW. But the gentleman he took on, I felt like I didn't get that match. I didn't get it. I didn't get why they did that match. So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Man.
So
go ahead, Swink.
Okay, I was going to respond. So I don't disagree with you there, Martez. I feel like they should have given him some microphone time on the Dynamite and do the match as well. There's no reason they couldn't have done both. They did do it on Collision, but they could have just done it on Dynamite in addition to Collision because you're trying to get this guy over. So what they're doing is by putting the title on him, they're trying to get him over, but the problem is he's not getting over with the crowds, at least in the sense of people buying tickets and people watching the shows. So far he hasn't really been, I can't say that he's been a draw, but again, it's just kind of one of these things that you have to wait and see how it turns out, because maybe he'll get over enough where, you know, we see some kind of proof of that, you know.
Right.
The ratings go up, you know, ticket sales go up, whatever. So I think you just kind of have to wait it out here. And this is his first title defense, I believe, on pay-per-view, if I'm correct. This is just a match for him to get a title defense under his belt. But I also agree that I feel like it's not going to be too long before, there's a new champion. And I think all roads are leading to the big all-in event, which is the biggest AEW event of the year, and Wembley Stadium. And I think that's where they're going to do Strickland versus Ospreay. And that might be where Ospreay takes the title.
Now, I wanted this, that we talked about this a little bit last time, how Swerve was white hot. And this will tell you how fast things can change in wrestling. He was white hot at the beginning of the year during that triple threat with Samoa Joe, who was champion, and Hangman Adam Page. He did not win that match, which made sense storyline-wise, but I think that was actually the time to give him the belt. I think after that event and he didn't win, I think it took a little bit of the air out of his balloon. And then right after that, we all knew he was coming, but as soon as Ospreay arrived on the AEW scene full-time, he sort of became the man almost immediately, which led to what Martez said, a lot of people speculating, well, now it's hard to get excited about Swerve because we're pretty sure Ospreay is going to be champion. But let's jump around real quick, if you don't mind me jumping around, Macho. Right ahead. Jump away, yeah. What about Will Ospreay versus Roderick Strong for the International Championship? Do you think that Ospreay's winning the International Championship on Sunday? Because Roderick Strong, although super talented for decades, and he's doing his best mic work of his career, I think, now, but he's still a very boring guy.
Yep. So you just said something powerful, and forgive me, Slink, if I don't know if you wanted to take the first stab at this, but if Ospreay can't lose right now. That's how I'm looking at things. He can't lose this early. So if he wins that, is that the International Championship, then that may pave way for a longer reign for Swerve, now that I think about it, because they can't have Ospreay lose to Roderick Strong. You know, but if I was them, I wouldn't give Ospreay a belt right now. I don't think correct me if I'm mispronouncing the name, but I don't think Will needs a belt in general right now. But again, if he's going to be strong. So now that I think about it, that may give Swerve a longer leash as a champion.
It's kind of a way to give Will Ospreay something to do right now that maybe get people's mind off him. What do you think, Swink?
Charlie, No. Here's what I think is going to – no, I'm just doing the, you know, the Roderick Strong bit where he yells people's names.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here, but I'm spending more time in the green room. It's been fully restocked with cheese since we've been doing two shows recently.
What about Dr. Pepper?
I'm drinking a regular right now. I got a cherry on deck.
So here's what I think is might possibly happen if we're fantasy booking here. I believe that Will Ospreay is going to win the international championship and that they're going to build towards, as I said before, Ospreay and Strickland. And what they're going to do is they're going to unify both belts and just do away with the international championship. I think that's what they're going to do. I think that's what they should do because that belt is really redundant now that you have the Continental Championship. It's like, do we really need both of those belts?
Well, I would say get rid of the Continental Championship, but if I heard correctly, that belt, you only hold it for a year, then you have to relinquish it at the beginning of the next Continental Classic. So it's kind of, I think that belt right now was to make Eddie Kingston's dream come true, and I think it's just to give Okada some gold to give him some extra luster on the Elite, because that's not really a defendable belt. It's kind of just like for show, in my opinion. And I like the international title all because of Orange Cassidy. Just get rid of the TNT title. The lineage of that title is horrible.
Yeah, well, yeah, you could do that. But the Continental Championship is still defended by Okada throughout the year. But, yes, at the end of the year, the title will be vacated. I believe that's how Tony Khan explained it. I don't know. He didn't do a very good job of explaining the Continental Classic, if we're being honest here. But I believe that the winner of whoever has the championship by the end of the year, I believe will have to vacate it, and then a new champion will be decided in the Continental Classic in December. I believe that's how it's going to happen. So presumably Okada's holding the belt for the rest of the year, then going to vacate it and enter the Continental Classic, I guess, to try and keep it. I don't know exactly.
Well, he's not defending it on Sunday. He's not. He's involved in something else, but we'll get to that in a minute. Shall we switch over to everyone's favorite girl who, and I'm not talking about that other smiley chick, I'm talking about the one who just makes everyone happy with her delightful music and pleasant demeanor, Miss Willow Nightingale.
Yeah, the other part of the triple main event, I guess the
one
second
third
part
of the triple main event, just like I'm one fourth here. Charlie's eating cheese.
Right. One third of the triple main event is Willow Nightingale defending the TBS championship against Mercedes Moné, however you say it. I say Moné. I don't know how. Because I've heard it said both ways. I don't know what the hell Sasha Banks' name is supposed to be now. But either way, this is your match. The other part of the main event, I believe if we're guessing what the order of the matches are going to be, I would assume that this match is probably going to be either the last match or the second to last match, because this whole thing to me is all about trying to get a return on investment in Mercedes Moné. And this is her first official match in AEW. And I feel like the reason why they debuted her in Boston was because it was her hometown, and why she hasn't wrestled since then is because I don't think she was fully healed yet from the ankle injury that she suffered last year at the New Japan Strong event. I believe that might have been last year's Resurgence show, in fact. But I don't think she was fully healed or cleared to wrestle yet, which is why she's just been hanging around, cutting bad promos and whatnot. But, yeah, I think it's kind of obvious who's going to win this match, and I think it's unfortunate for Willow because, you know, Willow Nightingale's been around for a while and trying to get this TBS championship, and people thought that she might be the one to take the title off of Jade Cargill when Cargill was champion. Instead, they went for Chris Statlander. Then they thought, oh, she's going to beat Athena for that Ring of Honor World Championship. That didn't happen. So now she finally gets a title here in AEW, and it looks like she's going to lose it right away. So, yeah, I think Mercedes Moné has to win her debut match. I don't think she's going to lose. I mean, that would be a shock to me. And we'll go from here. But the question that a lot of people have is, like, why is Mercedes Moné going after the secondary women's title and not the main women's title? And I'll go ahead and say it right here. I think it's because Tony Khan already has plans for that women's championship, because they're clearly trying to do this story with Mariah May and Toni Storm based on an old movie. What the hell is the name of that movie? I know the name of the movie. All About Eve. There we go. They're trying to do with All About Eve story with Toni Storm and Mariah May. And to me, it feels like Toni Storm is going to eventually lose the title to Mariah May when Mariah May turns on her, or Toni turns on Mariah, one or the other. But again, like a lot of Tony Khan stories, it's taking far too long to get to where you need to go. It's like you can see where the destination is you need to go, but we're still in like the second part of the story. We're down at, we haven't advanced far enough in the story for me. I feel like he needs to speed things up. We need to get things moving with that story. But that is why I believe Mercedes Moné is going after this belt instead of the world title, because it's all tied up in the Toni Storm nonsense. So my long-winded answer is Mercedes Moné is going to beat Willow Nightingale.
Well, I like the idea that they're utilizing the New Japan storyline, and I like the idea that they have shifted Mercedes away from the main title, which you get tired of women coming in and getting automatic world title shots. I mean, no offense to Deonna Purrazzo and stuff like that, but I like that. But I don't think, like we were just talking about, I think Mercedes has been kind of lackluster since she's been here, since she arrived. Part of that is because she hasn't wrestled yet, but I think Swink's correct. She's just going to just recently completely healed, obviously, because she just went through a table. But Willow deserves more. Now, Martez, you like women. You like all kinds of women. Some people refer to you as the harem scarum. So I'm sure you got a 5 or 6 opinions on this match from 6 or 7 different angles. And forgive me, my phone is very staticky. I'm having a hard time hearing. I hope that's not translating to you guys.
Yeah, I hear static as well. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I definitely hear static when both of you all talk. Can you hear me?
I'll blame Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it just won't get right. But hey, I got a love-hate relationship with this. But if you would have told me before this program started, at the beginning of this program, I would have said Mercedes is going to win this match. Like, I was 100% sure that Mercedes was going to win this match. But the way the last few weeks have developed, I'm going with Willow Nightingale. I think Willow has developed into a mega star over the last few weeks. She has developed into a believable champion the last few weeks. And I think she's going to win. I think there's going to be some kind of outside interference. If you remember a few weeks back, Mercedes Moné, she had an interview somewhere backstage, and the lights went off. And once the lights turned on, Mercedes was laid out on the floor. So we still have to tie
up. A attacker!
Yes, yeah, so I think even though Mercedes is sort of acting heelish, I think that attacker will cost Mercedes that match, and Willow will win. Now, that attacker could be Britt Baker, or it could be Chris Statlander. Like, Chris Statlander is somebody to keep an eye on. I don't know if she's for Willow or what, but she's somebody to keep an eye on. I think Willow is going to pick up the victory. And that's it, y'all.
That's interesting. That would be good for Willow Nightingale to get another victory over Mercedes Moné in whatever fashion, maybe not a pinfall or a submission, but that sure would put a luster, a shine on Willow Nightingale. And like I said, she deserves a longer title reign. And I'm never a fan of stars coming into a promotion and winning a title immediately. I absolutely hate that, especially on the first night.
I completely agree.
well, since we talked about her already, how about we transition back to more women, Martez? Let Martez start this one about the AEW Women's World Championship, the beguiling Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb, a professor in her own right, Swink, but only one F.
All I got to say is give me a T, give me an O, give me an N, give me an I, give me Toni Storm. I am so in love with Toni Storm in the ring, that is, in the ring.
Thanks for the clarification. You're in enough trouble already.
Right. I don't know why y'all think I'm some kind of W-H-O-R-E, but I don't know. I'm just here to talk wrestling.
Martez is like Davy Jones from the Monkees or Keith Partridge from the Partridge Family. He falls in love every episode with a different girl.
I do have issues. But I think he has a thing
for blondes because, again, Toni Storm's another blonde.
He does.
Oh, y'all, please let me talk about
that. That platinum hair. He likes the platinum hair, too. The silvery type.
Hey. Anyway, I think Toni Storm is not just the best thing going in AEW, but the best thing in all of wrestling. At one point, it was Roman Reigns. And then it was Toni Storm. Roman's not around anymore. And I think Toni Storm is just, she's just transcended. You know, she's super over. She's hot right now. And I love Serena Deeb. You know, she's a great wrestler. You know, I've always been a big fan of her. But I think this is another victory for Toni. This is another filler match until she takes on who Swink suggests, Mariah May. So Toni Storm for the win. She's one of my favorites, and that's all I got to say, folks.
Hey, that's one of his favorites, Swink. That's like saying I love everybody in the phone book.
Listen, I'm just watching this clock go. I'm ready for this show to be over. Come on, clock. Come on.
All right, so I guess I'll go. I think this is a pretty obvious win for Toni Storm. This is just another challenger of the month for Toni Storm and Serena Deeb. You know, I don't have a problem with Serena Deeb, but she has zero charisma on the microphone. Cannot cut a promo very well. And nevertheless, the Toni Storm antics, I can live without them personally, but I think she's kind of toned it down a little bit, at least in the ring, not as ridiculous anymore. I mean, the way she won the title, if I recall correctly, was ridiculous when she put that piece of metal in her tights and hit her opponent in the face with her ass with the piece of metal. I think that's how she won.
I believe that was some kind of orthopedic device.
You don't think she wrestles anymore, like, kind of to the gimmick? I think it's more like the old Toni Storm, the Toni Storm that I actually liked before this gimmick. But a lot of people like this Timeless Toni thing. It's just not for me. But the story here is pretty obvious. I mentioned it before already, and this is just another title defense for Toni Storm until we finally transition to what they're going to do with her and Mariah May. It looks like Mina Shirakawa from Stardom is involved here now, as Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa were a tag team in Stardom. And it looks like that the involvement of Mina Shirakawa is probably going to be the thing that drives the wedge between her, Timeless Toni, that is, and Mariah May. And then we'll finally get this story moved along. And, I don't know when it's going to happen, but one of them's going to turn on the other, and we're going to get the Toni Storm-Mariah May match, and that's what's going to happen. So, yeah, Deeb's just, like I said, another challenger of the month.
I'm thinking they're building it slowly, this for, because right around the corner after Double or Nothing, I believe, unless they change the schedule, we got Forbidden Door coming up. And it's supposed to be more than New Japan, I heard rumors of this year. But I would think that the Mina Shirakawa Love Fest with Mariah May and whatever's going on with Tony Storm, that might play right into that event. That's my prediction.
Yeah, Forbidden Door is the next event in June, and Stardom and CMLL are also going to be involved this year since there's no longer this embargo on Stardom wrestlers, as we've seen, now that Rossi Ogawa has left town. But I guess it didn't have that much to do with Rossi Ogawa leaving Stardom or actually getting fired from Stardom and starting his own promotion, Marigold, as to do with one of the guys that was in the New Japan, Bushiroad, Stardom, whatever, office that's no longer there. That was the guy that was kind of playing hardball with Tony Khan about booking these Stardom women because he wanted a ridiculous amount of money from Tony Khan to book these women for his shows that Tony Khan was just not willing to pay. And that was part of the problem. And now we're seeing this influx of Stardom talent. And I think that there's going to be something with Tony Storm, Mina Shirakawa, and probably Mariah May at Forbidden Door.
I agree, because I just said that. All right. So we got, Cat Marquez, are you still with us? Swink was kind of harsh on Tony Storm there.
it's all good. He brought up a lot of good points, you know, because some of her antics can get old. Obviously, I'm a fan of hers, but some of her antics are too much. Some things she does I don't like either, but well, she's still one of my favorites. So I agree with him in that area where it may be too much. Sometimes, like what she did the other night, I felt like was too much on Collision. Like that.
Where she
that's what I heard.
Wrapped herself in the flag of the Deep Nation?
Yes, listen.
That's not what I heard. I heard that Martez was a fan of that segment.
Yeah, I find this hard to believe, Martez. You know, sometimes there's a little bit different. You know, when you listen to Swink, pretty much Swink is this solemn and aggravated in regular life. It's true. He's the same guy. But Martez, he's kind of he's a little more rowdy in real life. He tones it down here.
Yeah, you know me a little bit, you know. Listen, it's two truths. I liked it, but I didn't like it at the same time. Is that possible? Yeah, that could be two truths.
I think so. I feel that way about Steve.
Oh. Oh, hey, poor Steve.
So
he's
are we going to
call
do
in
this?
Eventually. I don't know. He's doing something recreational. I think he's watching his son play ping pong or something like that. I don't know what happened.
I think he's
so
being delayed.
Do this?
Go ahead, Swink.
Are we going to do this other the last part of the triple main event here?
Well, actually, since we're sliding all over the place, I got an idea. Why don't we save that for last? And I got an idea here. Since we're talking about wacky antics, and Swink was talking about things that may have worn out their welcome, let's talk about Chris Jericho.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't personally feel that way. I think it's amazing the way Jericho keeps finding a new angle, no pun intended, to get himself over. But what do you two think of this current storyline here where he is a For the World champion? Swink, you're For the World, aren't you?
No, I'm like Taz. I like the other meaning of FTW, but I'm not going to say what that is.
Don't say it. Martez would have to bleep you.
But, the learning tree, Chris Jericho. I am not one of those people that dislikes Chris Jericho for various reasons, because a lot of people have different reasons why they dislike Chris Jericho, but I think that it was time for a reinvention from him. The Lionheart thing was just like, okay, that's a nice little nostalgia thing for him to do, but this is like the new character now, where he's being very disingenuous, and I kind of like it because it makes me laugh. And he's kind of acting the way that people perceive him to be online, which is funny about it, because to me it feels like he's the opposite of what people think that he is. And So this is his way of commenting on those people's criticisms of him. And I like what they've done with this story.
You know, there's a lot of subtle things that AEW talents do that to where they poke fun at the people that poke fun of them. And I don't know if all the fans or everybody even realize that sometimes. Or it's Wink, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I like it because they're not hitting you over the head with a subtlety hammer like WWE would. Where if this was in WWE, Chris Jericho would be basically spelling it out for you, like you're five or something. But I like the way that they've gone about it in a subtle way. But the gimmick here is that Chris Jericho is not just going to give Hook his rematch. He's got to earn it. And so we have these qualifying matches on Collision that have led to this three-way eliminator match that's going to take place on Dynamite this Wednesday between Hook, Katsuyori Shibata, and the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith. Now, the winner of that match will face Jericho at Double or Nothing. I think it's pretty obvious that Hook is going to win that three-way match and get his match against Jericho. Although I would not be that surprised if Shibata won. I think the one guy that probably is not winning the match is, unfortunately, Brian Keith. I'm a fan of Brian Keith. I like him. I'm glad that AEW picked him up off the indies because he was one of the guys on the indies that I thought had the most potential to be signed by a major company because he was one of the top indie guys, in my opinion at least. But, yeah, I don't think Brian Keith is winning this match. He's probably taking the fall here. And it could be Shibata, but it's probably going to be Hook.
Martez, do you have an opinion? Oh, wait, Swing's not done.
But here's what I think is going to happen in the match. I don't necessarily think Hook is just winning and getting his belt back. I think we're going to see the debut of another member of the Learning Tree in this match. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think somebody's going to come out there besides Big Bill, who will probably be at ringside or whatever. They might do something where he gets ejected or something, and then they'll be like, well, what's Chris Jericho going to do now that there's no Big Bill out here or whatever? And then, you know, somebody new will come out and he'll help Jericho, he or she, whatever, or they will come out and help Jericho win the match. I think they're going to get a debut of a new member of the group. So I think Jericho's going to retain.
Well,
Martez, are you the new member of the Learning Tree?
I probably need to be. But after Chris Jericho hear me say this, he might not want me in the group. But Jericho is a legend. You know, I love Jericho. He's the king of reinventing himself. He's great. I think he needs to go. I think he needs to be missed. Not overly critical of him, but I think I read that he hasn't took a break since going to AEW. He's been going nonstop. I think in life, I think it's good to take a break. I think it's good to step away. I think it's good for people to miss you. You know, and today's wrestling fans just don't appreciate greatness. They don't appreciate somebody like Chris Jericho. They celebrate you one day and then crucifying you the next day. And that's the position Chris Jericho is in right now. Like, nothing's really changed about him. But the fans are so fickle. You know, if, like I say, they'll celebrate you one day and they'll crucify you the next day. So from somebody looking on the outside, I do think Chris Jericho needs to step away for a bit. You know, I'm applauding what he's doing right now with the Learning Tree, but I don't think it's gonna get far. I mean, I think it's gonna be another dead run. Like the last two runs were dead to me. Much like with the horse entertainment group he had. I thought that was dead. You know, I just hope that at some point he steps away and give people time to miss him. And then come back with a haircut or something like that. Just think, if you want to continue to revisit yourself, you need to step away. Am I supposed to be predicting the match? I'm sorry.
Do whatever you want.
I don't. If he thinks he's good or nothing, if he is, I think Jericho's going to win this title. I think Jericho needs to play. I don't know how you want to get off the step away.
Man. I think it's going to be Hook, although I'm also thinking there's a possibility, which I don't think it's a strong possibility, but possibility that maybe some chicanery happens and it turns into a tag team match with Shibata and Jericho and Cook and Big Bill. And then, sorry, Brian Keith, but I like Brian Keith, too. I think this is like a nice chance for him to shine. Not necessarily a happy to be there. He's just lucky to be there. But I think this is like a gift for him to be in this kind of position on a stacked Dynamite. I think it's a good place for him to be, but I don't think, obviously, he'll make it to the pay-per-view. Man. Marquez loves Jericho and dislikes Jericho at the same time, Swing.
Yeah, I could barely make out what Marquez was saying there at the end, so I don't know what he said there, but I do agree with him to the extent that maybe Jericho could use some time off, and I do agree that it is good for some of these guys to go away for a while and so that people actually miss them because, you know, the whole saying is distance makes the heart grow fonder. It's like we haven't seen Hangman Page in a while, and so when Hangman Page comes back, you know, he's going to get a big pop from the crowd because we haven't seen him in a while, and people are out there like, where's Hangman Page? We want Hangman Page back. A lot of Hangman Page fans out there. I forgot what they call themselves, but, yeah, there's a lot of fans of the Hangman out there that are waiting for Hangman's return, but... Yeah, I agree that Jericho could probably use some time off, but it looks like he's just going to plow through it. Even though, you know, the last couple of months would have been a good time for him to just go away for a while and then come back, you know, because right now people are just very divisive on the guy. There's some people that a lot of people are really sick and tired of him. I personally am not sick and tired of him, but that's just me. But, yeah, so I agree with Marquez on that point.
I think it might be a case also, too, where we've seen this over the last couple of years. There have been times where Jericho and Moxley have both had scheduled time off, but because one thing or another happened and some idiots were being themselves behind the scenes in AEW, they forgo their time off and they fill in the holes. And they put the promotion on their shoulders because that's the kind of champions they are. I think maybe, you know, if you look across the roster here, I mean, we still got MJF who's out. We still got Adam Cole who's out. We got Kenny Omega who's out. I mean, Sting was not a main event guy, but to me personally, as one of my close personal friends of my life and death, the hole is there's he's missing. If you ask me, and Darby's back, although he was off TV for a while. There's a lot of people, a lot of main event guys that have not been around. I think Jericho would be reluctant to leave television with that kind of holes in the Swiss cheese, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Jon Moxley, the guy who put the company on his back for those months when the other guy was injured. More than once. And so I guess it would be a great transition to the other match if we're done with this one.
John
Moxley. Yeah, there you go. See, that's what that $16,000 I paid for, paying off right here. John Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship Eliminator match. So if Takeshita wins, he will receive a future IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. So because I'm probably the only one here that actually watches NJPW, I guess this is where I will step in and comment about this whole thing with Jon Moxley as IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. So in Chicago, Jon Moxley and Windy City Riott defeated Tetsuya Naito to become the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. And this has ruffled the feathers of a lot of New Japan Pro Wrestling fans, specifically the foreign fans, not the Japanese fans. A lot of them are like, why is this AEW guy holding our belt? Wah, wah, wah. And so a lot of people are upset that Moxley has the belt. And they're trying to say that, oh, Moxley isn't a draw, blah, 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 which is not true whatsoever. I mean, I just listened to another podcast that was talking about this, and they went over, you know, the drawing numbers for Moxley when he's been in New Japan. And the guy is a draw, no matter what people try to tell you otherwise. And, you know, I think it's just because people are upset that an AEW guy has felt. But the thing is, he hasn't just decided to just go away from New Japan and just keep their belt hostage. You know, he's been working over there in Japan. He's been working his throws here in the United States for New Japan, defending the title. I mean, he's got a title defense coming up on June the 9th in Dominion against Evil. So, yeah, he's been a fighting champion so far. He just defended the title against Shota Umino at Resurgence. Before that, against Ren Narita on Dynamite against Will Hobbs, which wasn't a very good match, but I think part of that had to do with the fact that Powerhouse Hobbs was injured. But, you know, this is going to be his next title defense. Well, not his next title defense. I mean, if Shinsuke Takeshita wins this match, he'll get a title shot. So the thing about that is Shinsuke Takeshita is a wrestler for DDT Pro Wrestling and, you know, not New Japan Pro Wrestling. And the question is are they going to be willing, New Japan Pro Wrestling, to sign off on the championship match between a guy from another promotion and another guy from another promotion for their belt? So will Shinsuke Takeshita win this match and get a title shot against Jon Moxley? I don't know. But it is interesting that they're doing an eliminator match for the IWGP Championship, which is something they don't traditionally do in New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is another thing that's upset the New Japan Pro Wrestling purists, is that they're doing this eliminator match. In addition to the whole thing of announcing a bunch of title matches in advance, they don't do that in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They take it one title defense at a time. Instead, they've announced a bunch of Moxley's title defenses in advance. And, you know, the Will Hobbs title shot also upset a lot of New Japan fans. Like, what did he ever do to get a title match? Blah, blah, blah. So this whole Jon Moxley thing has been met with a lot of criticism from New Japan fans. But Jon Moxley, Shinsuke Takeshita is a match here on the pay-per-view. I love Takeshita. I love Moxley. I think this is going to be a great freaking match, no matter who wins here. You guys still there? Did I lose you? Uh-oh.
Yep, I'm here, Swing.
Can anybody okay. hear me?
Yes.
All right, I got my walkie-talkie hooked up to, I don't know what this is. It looks like a egg beater on top of a spatula. I don't know what it is. I found it underneath the couch. Hopefully this isn't one of Martez's sex toys.
What?
I thought that would get your attention. Yeah, I was. That's what I wanted to ask you, Swing. Ooh, it's working for now. I probably just jinxed it. New Japan put it on Moxley. That's not surprising because he's been pretty prevalent over there, traveling over there. He's been there for years. I also understand the backlash, but it's not like New Japan's been making a lot of good choices for their champions the last couple of years anyway. The belt's kind of been jinxed since it debuted a few years back. But now they obviously have to sign off, though, on everything Moxley does with the belt, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I believe that Tony Khan has to get approval from New Japan for anything as far as title defenses and whatnot goes here. So maybe they have agreed to Shinsuke Takeshita getting a title shot. So maybe Takeshita wins, or maybe he just loses, and, you know, we go from there.
I heard something, I don't know if it's true or not, or whether it's part of a storyline or if it's actually honesty, but that Takeshita was a little upset during a Japanese interview where he doesn't understand why he doesn't get more TV time, and how he knows that Asian wrestlers don't get the same kind of exposure that the American wrestlers do in America, but he seemed a little disgruntled. Did you hear anything about that, Mr. Swink?
Yes, I did see the interview that Kanoske Takeshita did, and I do agree to an extent that Tony Khan could feature Kanoske Takeshita a little bit more. He did give him those wins over Kenny Omega last year, which is pretty big. But, you know, there's weeks at a time where he just disappears, doesn't wrestle a match, or just stands around in the background. So he could be used a lot more often than he is.
Now, do you believe in some people's opinion it's difficult when wrestlers from other countries are not fluent in English, seeing as America is so promo-heavy? Do you think that affects it a lot?
I think the test of English is just fine. I think that he can cut promos in English. I don't think it has anything to do with his promo ability. It's just that sometimes Tony Khan just doesn't book guys. Instead, you know, he decides, let's bring back Scorpio Sky for the third time. No one cares about Scorpio Sky. Stop trying to make him a thing. He's not going to be a thing.
It looks like he's at least got some kind of character gimmick he's working on here with where he loves everybody or he's happy to see you. But yeah, there are some guys, not everybody is meant to be in the main event, but everybody should try. Everybody should get genuine opportunities. But I feel like Scorpio Sky doesn't have it to go any further. Like you said, the people aren't really – he's had some injuries to deal with that have taken him away, but I don't think people are interested in him coming back. Whether or not he can reinvent himself with some outlandish new gimmick, he's a very talented – he may be a guy who is more suited to always being in a tag team.
Yeah, no, this is the third time that Tony is going to attempt to push this guy as a single star, and it's not going to work. He really needs to cut bait with this guy. There's some acts I feel like in AEW that have worn out their welcome, in my opinion, like him, Private Party, Dark Order. I think, those guys have been around for like almost the entire duration of AEW's run, and I think it's time to start letting some of these guys go, especially when you keep bringing in more talent, more big-name talent, more guys that are actually over and stuff like that, because you're not going to have room for all of these guys. I mean, AEW's got, 5 hours of TV, which, is less than what the other guys have. So you're not going to be able to feature all of these guys on the shows, even though you have 5 hours of TV. So, there's some guys that are going to get, cast to the wayside. But instead, he chooses to feature some guys that I particularly wouldn't feature instead of, say, Kanoske Takeshita.
Now, Martez, before Twink and I have gone off on a tangent here, what's your opinion? Do you have an opinion on Moxley versus Takeshita?
I've got a couple of opinions. I had an opinion on Scorpio Sky, but as far as Moxley, I do get why people feel like he's not a face of a company. I do understand that. But I feel like Moxley put himself in situations where he doesn't carry himself like a face of a company, like somebody you can get behind. I don't think people pick him serious when having a ball in his hand, like Kenny Omega or CBL. I just feel that way. WWE under Dean Ambrose, it just always seems like he's great at what he does, but he's always like a third wheel type, and that's unfortunate because I love Moxley, I love Dean Ambrose, but it just always feels like he's like a third wheel type of wrestler. You know, he's a great stitch man on a fantastic team. But I agree with you. He's not a suitcase. But I'm going to go with Moxley for the win here against the guy he's going against.
You don't even know his name.
I'm sorry. Now, in terms of, can I just chime in on Scorpio Sky? Two things. I think the fascination with Scorpio Sky, because I was fascinated with him back in the beginning, there's a look about him that's just like he could be a star. Not so much his physique or the way he wrestled. It's just something about him. Like when he was with that group with Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, I always felt like he was going to break away and be a star. I always felt like there was something about him. Now I agree with Sleek. Like on the flip side, Scorpio Sky is just stale. You know, he's dead as a doorknob, and I do feel like they need to cut their losses with him. Yeah, I agree with you on that Sleek, but I just wanted to make sure I made it clear on why I think Tony may have a fascination with him. It was probably the same reason I had a fascination with him, because at that time there was something about him, you know, something about him that gave off star. He's going to be a star, but that hasn't translated just in the last 5 years. But yeah, I'm going with Moxley in that match against the gentleman from New Japan.
Man, and our apologies to Scorpio Sky, who's not even on the event and just got run out of town by all three of us.
Catching strays.
All right.
But I think Scorpio, sorry, Macho, if I can just say something.
No, go right ahead.
And I said this a few years ago, when we was doing a lot of shows on here on somebody else's show. I think Scorpio Sky is suffering from the Bobby Lashley syndrome. I'm talking, Bobby Lashley is cool now. But pre-Hurt Business, Bobby Lashley was a stale, bland, you know what. And I think that's the issue with Scorpio Sky. People expect him to be something that he's not, and that's not fair. So I'm trying to dance around what I'm trying to say without saying it.
Man, you know what I take away from this? What do you mean you're on other shows?
At one point I was having fun having this show, that show, you know. It was the Jed Williams show. That's the show I said about Bobby Lashley.
That's Pietro and Snookums. That's who I was talking about earlier.
Exactly. By the way, how are they doing these days? Anyway.
You know what? I think, you have, like we were talking about Chris Jericho, even if it's just subtle adjustments here and there, he finds a different way to kind of freshen himself up. I always think back, not necessarily one of my favorite guys, but JBL. If anybody remembers before he was JBL, he was in the APA, who was a poker-playing, drinking bodyguard type guy with no manners. And even before that, if you think back, he was one half of the New Blackjacks, where he had like a black handlebar mustache.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yep, you go through different characters. And mm-hmm. But to me, one of the greatest reinventions I ever saw was from Bradshaw from the APA turning himself into JBL. It was a complete refresh of everything,
yep,
about him, and it shot him into the stratosphere, and he became, I believe, multiple time, if or at least one time, world champion, a fixture, a legend in that other promotion, and obviously that would have never happened. So you never know, happening upon the right combination, like one of my arch enemies, Ted DiBiase, kind of a journeyman wrestler, is offered the million-dollar man gimmick. Look at that. There's a guy who should have been champion. If in a different era when the title changed hands more, he would have been. But it's, I don't know if there's a whole bunch of guys, too, and it's incumbent upon you to try to find that or cultivate that character. It's not always easy. You get pushback, perhaps, from promoters and stuff like that. But I don't know if Scorpio Sky is. I think he's trying some kind of character. But it's clear that the package of just straight Scorpio Sky isn't enough. And it isn't enough to be just a high-flying, acrobatic, cool guy anymore. That's like 15 years ago. So am I making any sense?
You're making a lot of sense. And Sweet, I know you're going to chime in, but I'm learning that this business is cutthroat. This business is competitive. Like, you got to get over. That's for anything in life. Like if you're not getting over, then people don't want to see you. You know, you got to make people believe. You got to make people invest in you. You know, even with – I think about this, even with these shows that we do, like, if that's what you want, if you want people to watch or listen to your product or watch you as a wrestler, you have to give them a reason. Like, this is why I celebrate Toni Storm, because at one point in AEW, she was bland. You know, her character was bland. But she made an adjustment. I don't know how she made that adjustment, but she made an adjustment. And this timeless Toni Storm gimmick, this has given her 10 more years, you know, to be a star. You know, so you got to get over, and it can happen just like that. Roman Reigns, just like that. You know,
ooh, stop it. He's already been mentioned 5,000% too many times on this show.
Probably all by me.
There's a guy who shined as the one-third of the Shield because he did his six or seven moves and he looked great doing it, and then floundered for years because he is not the main event guy, although I guess I was proven wrong, although I still think I'm right. Swink, do you have anything to add to this, or should we move on?
I was going to say we should move on, but I just thought you were going to go even further back with Bradshaw and talk about Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Justin Hawk Bradshaw, didn't he have like the everybody who lives in Texas has some kind of coarse rope that they carry with them? Didn't he have a long blonde hair and a beard or something?
Yeah, he had the lariat, and he was managed by Uncle Zebekiah, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter, a.k.a. Dutch Mantel.
How about that, Martez?
Oh, yeah. I'm learning something every day with you guys.
That's right. Every minute if you paid more attention.
But, yeah, I think we need to move on here. We've got a few more matches to talk about.
How about a straight-up wrestling match? How about a match between one of my favorites, Mr. Freshly Squeezed Orange Cassidy, with his turncoat traitor backstabbing, tore up their pictures from high school graduation and burned them, that former best friend Trent Beretta. Oh, my gosh. I can't even talk about it. Swink!
I thought you were going to say that one of your favorites is Trent Beretta there for a second.
I like Trent Beretta. He's kind of in that area where we were just talking about. I like Trent Beretta. I like the best friends, even though they didn't accomplish some championships. They had some great parking lot matches, and I like Trent and Chuck. I don't know if Chuck's really gone for good, but this is the big break for Trent to make it on his own. We'll see if he has that extra level or not. Obviously, I like everything with Orange Cassidy, so I'm looking forward to this match. What do you think, Swink?
Well, I think that Tony Khan is obviously a fan of Trent Beretta. I think he always has been, even in the best friend days. I think he always had something earmarked for Trent Beretta beyond the best friends. And this whole thing has been simmering for quite a while if you paid attention to it. Like, there were often times where Trent Beretta would roll his eyes at Orange Cassidy or whatever, and you could tell he was just getting sick and tired of Orange Cassidy and his antics, and it finally boiled over to where he finally turned on him. And, you know, he had that great parking lot fight with Chuck Taylor. Here's something that a lot of people don't know about good old Chucky T. He's great at the plunder matches, Daddy. And both of those parking lot fights that he had in AEW, the one with Proud and Powerful against the best friends and then the one he just had against Chuck, were great. He's great at the parking lot fights. Oh, I think they had one with the Blackpool Combat Club as well. That one was also great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Chuck is great whenever there's plunder involved, Daddy. And if this was his last match, I think it was a good one to go out on. And I like that we're doing something different with these guys. Orange Cassidy is one of the most overacts in AEW, has been for quite some time. I was on the Orange Cassidy bandwagon for years before he even got signed by AEW. I like how his character has evolved from just plain old guy who's lazy and into this guy here that is one of the most popular acts in the company now and had a great run with the International Championship. And, you know, I thought maybe when he lost that title to Jon Moxley that Tony Khan was going to move him up to the world title picture, and that didn't happen. Instead, he went back to the international title because of the whole thing with Moxley getting concussion. and then Phoenix winning the title from him. I think that was not supposed to happen. And then Phoenix himself also gets hurt in the match with Orange Cassidy, and now the title's on Roderick Strong. So that title has went through a lot of ups and downs since the days of Pac and Orange Cassidy holding it. But nevertheless, we've got this match here with Orange Cassidy and Trent Barreta. The thing you have to worry about is the presence of Don Callis, who's trying to recruit Orange Cassidy for his group. But I think it's pretty obvious that he's trying to pull the wool over Orange Cassidy's eyes and trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes, because there's no way that Orange Cassidy and Don Callis are going to be aligned. Don Callis is going to do something here probably to cost Orange Cassidy this match, and then we'll find out that he's actually signed, I guess, to the Don Callis family, Trent Barreta, and Trent Barreta is going to be the new member of the Don Callis family. I think that's what's going to happen here.
I agree with you on that, and plus also it's got the classic swerve, and I don't mean Strickland, written all over it. And yeah, Don Callis and Orange Cassidy are not compatible. Plus, the Don Callis family has been decimated by injuries, so that would be a good signing, and then that would be a good boost for Trent too. Put him in a higher tax bracket. What do you think, Martez? Are you paying any attention? You should be in love with Orange Cassidy.
Absolutely, I'm also over Orange Cassidy. I think he needs a character shift. I think he needs I'm not so much of a gimmick change, but I'm just over Orange Cassidy. He doesn't do anything for me.
That was fighting words.
I am going to fight you, Martez.
There's a good thing.
I'm
going to
give you an orange punch when I see you.
I don't think this is really Martez. I think that's his evil multiversal alter ego, Xander Fit.
Xander Fit. No, seriously, you know, I say this with all due respect, but just to let you all know, Turtle is on the line, but I want to get this out real quick. With all due respect, what's it, Orange Cassidy? I just think he's. And hopefully one day I may be able to work with him, so I don't want to shoot myself in the foot. I just don't think he's a needle mover for me. You know, I see him on TV, I turn the channel. Unfortunately, I just think he needs a character change.
My gosh!
I love this new turn by Trent, and I agree with Swink. Like, even though I don't watch AEW like that, but I did notice. That he wasn't all in, like, the last, I want to say, couple years. Like, it always felt like he was going to turn heel, and you never know when he was going to do it, but obviously he's done it. But, yeah, I'm King Trent, and that's all I got to say about that.
Man, oh, man, Martez has broken a lot of hearts this episode. It's like he turned heel.
I felt like I didn't say much the last episode, so I wanted to be able to come on here and just talk a little bit more and really talk from the heart and speak some truth.
No, this is good. I love it. One of my things I've always, in the past, I've always tried to coax Martez more on the air, because actually he's very good on the air. I think he thinks more of himself now. He never used to in the past. But actually, he doesn't deserve to be in the background. He deserves to be in the spotlight, and I'm glad he's talking a lot more. Part of the reason we aren't taking any callers this time is because we wanted to kind of devote some time to ourselves, and I think it's, a static aside, I think it's been going pretty good up until this point where he doesn't like Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, so by my math, I think we have two matches left.
We got two matches left. What did you say? Did you say Steve's on the line?
Steve was, but he had to go. But Turtle was here. Turtle was on the line.
What the heck does he want? Who invited him?
I invited myself. Those, come on. I'm
let's
Mr.
put
1%.
Turtle on the line. Turtle, how'd you get? Are you using the cups and strings that I gave you?
Of course. I never got rid of them. So here's a funny thing, Macho Ghost. I'm doing a first right now. I am recording. Just freaking as I call. So we have two podcasts going on.
Wait a minute. You're recording this podcast to use on your podcast?
If we could put it that way.
Is that legal?
I mean, I admit it's probably more legal than us using the Rolling Stones at the beginning of the show, but don't say anything because I know what happened with the Verve. But wait a minute. So Turtle, who couldn't call in last time when I expected him to, who calls in this time, but now he's calling in and he's doing two shows at the same time? What do you think you are, Steve?
we're invading the gorilla business.
Oh, man.
Using my 1%.
Now, Turtle, I didn't get your name of your show correct earlier in the show. What is the official name of your show? And give yourself a plug before before Marteza and we all get disconnected.
So it's called Just Freakin' Wrestling. We are the JFW podcast, the greatest podcast in – or wait, the greatest faction in podcast history, if you will. See, I'm messing it up. This is why I don't do this part. Travis T usually does this part.
Well, you're making somebody laugh, so you must be doing something right.
Oh, I am. Actually, my co-hosts are on the line because, like I said, we are recording JFW right now. So, hey, Travis T, introduce yourself to the gorilla position.
So wait a minute. Is your show actually live right now?
Well, we're not live. Live.
We're going to release this in about an hour and a half, so I mean, we'll have it
live. Man, oh, man. Martez, how could you let this happen?
I guess it's just that 1%, you know.
Well, welcome to the show. We're having a hard time hearing, so tell your compatriots to introduce themselves, but scream it really loud.
You sound too much like Steve for me to find interest in you.
Translate that for me, Turtle. I couldn't hear it.
Oh, my God. This is turning out too perfect.
Yeah, just
tell what. Swink, I feel like I'm on someone else's date.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
maybe I'll get some better equipment and we'll be able to hear him. I just wanted to, try something different, be funny. I'm just showing my 1% side of the show. So maybe next time I'll call in with better equipment. We'll all get together and talk wrestling. It's actually good to be on with you guys once again in how many years. Macho Ghost, I miss you. You are awesome. Link, you're okay.
Ooh.
Your takes suck sometimes. Martez, you're always awesome. And Steve, if you're listening, I'll catch you down the line.
Man, Turtle, thank you for calling. That's the nicest thing Turtle ever said to me. We fight all the time, but in a loving way. Swink, I don't know what to say. Thank you, Turtle, for calling in. I don't know if he still there. You know what? This gives me an idea. I'm going to steal Turtle's idea. I think we should do two shows at the same time again. This should be interesting. We got to figure out how to set this up, and I think every single one of us needs new equipment. What do you guys think?
Oh, I agree. I definitely need new equipment.
Yeah. Well, we're about to wrap up our show, so thanks for letting me do my thing. 1% of the time, as I usually do. And I'll catch you guys in the chat. You guys finish doing what you're doing.
Thank you for calling. I'm so happy, actually, Turtle called in, because I was last show, I was waiting for Turtle to call in, and he didn't, because I think he was, he was in surgery or something. I don't know what he was doing. I never know what anybody's really doing. But Turtle called in. He did his 1%. I think he did more than 1%. What do you guys think?
I would say that was 1%.
Martez, shut the car door. It's going off, will you?
I think that's our good friend. I don't want to spoil his thunder. I think he's supposed to say
versus!
Something.
Versus! Versus! Oh, no, it's Steve's here. Steve, that was your line from last show.
Well, I only have one line because I only made it for the last 8 minutes.
Oh, man.
You got 10. You got 10.
I can wrap this up very quickly. Sky Blue deserves better. Where the hell is Kyle Fletcher? Will Ospreay is God, and Chris Jericho should retire.
Man, that was the most concise I've ever heard, Steve. And, you know, he just had those first three people he just spent time with a few weeks ago, so he's kissing somebody's dupa.
In this business, if you're not kissing dupa, you're not getting booked.
You need to get some chapstick.
Now, Steve, you're just in time. You're just in time. We're having some statical difficulties, so it's hard for all of us to hear each other, so we're trying to concentrate. We got two matches left. How about this TNT Championship barbed wire steel cage match, Adam Copeland, Malachi Black? This accelerated into something crazy pretty fast. Steve, let's start with you since you just got here. What do you think? Are you a longtime edgehead?
Well, I don't know. I think I kind of like Adam Copeland a little bit better than I like Edge.
Me too.
So, listen, it just seems like when people that were very good in WWE come to AEW, they get better because they're allowed to be who they want to be, not who they're supposed to be. And I think that's true for Bryan Danielson. I think that's true for Chris Jericho to a certain extent. And I just love the fact that they're letting Copeland create and have fun. Malachi Black, unfortunately, was irrelevant at WWE and is even less relevant here at AEW. So I'm going with Adam Copeland.
Yeah, I think the House of Black really hasn't grown into the menacing, in some cases, I mean, they do some pretty crazy stuff, but they haven't grown into the menacing force that I expected, at least. But I think this is kind of a thing, and who is talking about this? Oh, I think it was on the air. It's Nigel McGuinness who brought up a good point. Tony Schiavone asked him, what is the deal? Why did they steal Adam Copeland's wedding ring? Why did Malachi Black take his wedding ring? And Nigel McGuinness, and as I was wondering that too, and Nigel McGuinness explained it by he's trying to revert Adam Copeland back to the kind of person he was before he was married. By taking away that symbol, he's trying to put him back in that mindset, the mindset that Swink has said before that he does not like, where he's got that split personality where he goes to that place. He's trying to make Adam Copeland crazy, either to destroy him or make him join the House of Black. Swink, what do you think about that?
I think that Malachi Black has probably just got a calendar where he's Xing off the days on the calendar with a red marker as to when his contract is up so that he can go back to the warm, loving embrace of Triple H and WWE.
Man.
So I think Malachi Black is just counting down the days here before he can leave. And honestly, bye. See you later. But...
Yeah, he has not lived up to the potential that we all had for him, I believe.
Okay, here's my thing about Adam Copeland. I know I dug my heels in when he was Edge in WWE, and I did not like him, but I have to give it up to him in AEW. He's been great in AEW. It's because, precisely what you just said, he hasn't gone to that place yet where he makes the googly eyes, pulls on his hair, and sits there in the middle of the ring with a stool with a spotlight on him. The cringeworthy stuff that I dislike about Edge's character in his last run in WWE was horrible. So I really don't want to see that part of Edge or Adam Copeland in AEW, but I'm down for a barbed wire steel cage match for sure. And hopefully Adam Copeland wins this match.
Yeah, that's a crazy jump from, you know, taking someone's wedding ring to wanting to fight him in a cage covered in razor-sharp metal. Martez, what do you think? Now, as you are the WWE guy, do you like Adam Copeland or do you like Edge? And myself am hoping that this is a storyline where Edge is able to, like, it's towards the end of his career. He's going to be able to overcome the Edge part of himself from years ago with Lita and all that junk and stay Adam Copeland. That's where I'm hoping the storyline's going. What do you think, Martez?
You know, real quick, because I know we're short on time, but I prefer Edge. And this isn't me, because I'm a WWE slappy, but I much rather prefer Edge. Honestly, I don't see anything amazing that he's doing right now in AEW. With all due respect, I just don't. But I prefer Edge when he was in WWE. But in terms of Malachi Black, they want to salvage his AEW run, they want to salvage his career in AEW, then they'll get him that title. Because if they don't get him that title, you can basically book it. You know, and like Swink said, he's going back to mothership, WWE. So that's my 2 cents.
Man, oh man, oh man. I tell you, Steve Martin turned into a heel.
But wait, I heard the special rules for this match. I hear Jade Cargill is making a guest appearance as special referee and Trish Stratus as timekeeper.
Ooh! Martez loves it!
Come on, Steve, why you have to do this?
Martez is going
to
watch that shit.
He's just patiently waiting for Camille to debut.
Listen, if I'm watching...
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Only because of the wrestling. Let's get this straight. I love you, Steve. I love you.
The last thing I... Because we are short on time, but we did pretty good this show. The last thing I have to say about Edge, I think he does not need the TNT title on him. I think it was a missed opportunity. They should have given it to Daniel Garcia a little ways back because he's been floundering ever since, and he was on quite a roll. And I don't think Copeland needs it, but he's actually having fun with it. And he and Daniel and you know, Saraya, even though she doesn't do much, but she cuts amazing promos with Harley Cameron. I'm so happy that they have a second chance after having all of this love taken away from them. So whatever Adam Copeland wants to do, I'm so happy he gets to do it because there was a point where he wasn't able to, and now he can just have as much fun as he wants to, which leads us to turtles and double shows, and Steve's finally here. Swink and Martez, I thought they'd be getting along after Wrestle Martez Swink Mania, but they're still arguing. Anarchy in the arena! Swink!
All right, so it's the Elite Russo, Kyle Jack Perry, Matthew Jackson, Nicholas Jackson against Team AEW, Brian Danielson, Cash Wheeler, Jack Tarwood, and Darby Allin. This was originally supposed to include Eddie Kingston, but Eddie Kingston broke his leg in the match in New Japan Pro Wrestling against Gabe Kidd, so he has been replaced in this match with Darby Allin. Although some might argue that, yes, it is. But some might argue that after that injury, he was attacked by the Elite, Jack Perry and the Young Bucks. Some might argue that the plan was always to replace him in this match with Darby Allin, like with the Bucks, and Jack Perry was supposed to take him out. And that was supposed to be how he didn't make the match, and Darby Allin was going to be the replacement. But, yeah, he's legitimately injured, broke his leg. There's a photo online of him and the cast and all that. Well, anyway, Anarchy in the Arena, this is the match. I think the Elite is probably going to win this one.
Yep.
Say that again, Swink.
I think the Elite are probably going to win this one.
I think you're probably right just because it will enhance their evilness. Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying the Elite? Because you're a longtime Bucks fan. Are you enjoying this incarnation of the Elite?
I do like this version of the Elite, and I like how Kazuchika Okada has like seamlessly joined into the group. I think everything that about Okada's presentation, since he came to AEW, has been really good. I like the way that they've handled him so far. And, you know, he's a lot better in English promos than I think a lot of people thought he would be.
I think they could jazz him up a little bit, but I like the fact that now this storyline has come to this point where everybody was, and rightfully so, they have their opinions. Everybody was given their opinion on whether or not they should show the footage of Pepsi Man and Jungle Boy backstage last year at Wembley. I liked it just because I enjoyed seeing what actually happened. But actually, we see now that was used as part of the storyline. It was used for two ways, to try to embarrass Pepsi Man and to remind everybody what's going on with Jack Perry, so that when he makes this return, it makes perfect sense why he's part of the Elite. Do you agree, Martez? No.
55 seconds. 50
All right,
seconds.
Yeah. I got a quick, my quick prediction, I'm going to go with the Elite, and I think it's smart to give him a couple victories before we get the blood and guts. So yeah, I'm going with the Elite.
Oh man, blood and guts. Man, do you now? Now, Steve, you're still there, right?
I'm still here.
You're used to anarchy. You're used to the clusterfunks. What do you think?
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention to this? Would you like to fight someone on a football field? Would you like to ride a horse on top of a golf cart? That's what anarchy in the arena is all about. Would you like to throw somebody into a vat of molten steel? Wait, that was Terminator 2. Never mind.
I think everything they do when they do these gimmicky pay-per-views is fantastic. I think wrestling should be fun, and you should push the envelope as often as you can. I think that's what AEW does really well. They have great wrestling, and they do things, and they don't care about the repercussions. They're just going to do it because they want to do it. So I'm all about football field wrestling. I'm all about molten lava. Cody Rhodes is coming back. He's going to rappel from the sky, and he's going to win.
Oh, my goodness. Steve's out of control. Steve, I promise we'd plug your show. We plug your show later. What is that show called? Time in the Den with Steve.
Yes, Time in the Den with Steve. That's what it's called. It's not worth watching. Stay away from it.
Man, but what about your good friends, C-Red and Rian Skills? And you got a girl on there who's like roller derby action or something, right?
Yes, watch them. Don't watch me.
Man. Steve is such a powerful entertainer and broadcaster. He only needs a few minutes of the show to establish his dominance and his coherence of the entertainment industry.
I'll tell you this.
Are we still on, or did they disconnect
us? Yeah, we're getting ready to fade out pretty soon.
All right, I'm ready to fade out. Just remember, before everything, there was gorilla position. So come hell or high water, when this show comes out, if I'm invited, I'll find a way. It may only be for 8 minutes at the end, but goddamn it, versus! Versus!
My gosh! Martez, what do you have to say to wrap this up?
Hey, I want to step out of character real quick. Well, I'm in character, but I'm so happy that we're doing these shows. Hopefully we can do another show in another few months. I'm having a good time with you all. That's pretty much it. Like, hopefully we can do something else really, really soon.
Charlie, what do you think? This cheese is delicious! Flink, what do you got to say? You're in charge of this one. This is one of yours. As Martez had WrestleMania, you had this. Were you satisfied? Are you happy? You've got to be looking forward to this. I would think, along with me, AEW's a dream come true.
I think it's going to be a good show. The AEW pay-per-views always deliver. I thought this was a good preview. We actually got through everything, I think, that we were supposed to get through. And Steve, once again, is able to do everything in 8 minutes that neither of us or Martez was able to do in an hour and 40 minutes.
Well, that's not entirely true.
I got to say, though, and we'll fade off right after this, thank you, everyone, for doing the show. I love doing the show. This was a lot of fun having everybody. I can't believe even Turtle called in. We had two shows at the same time, and I believe this is the first time in the history of the gorilla position that we talked about everything we wanted to talk about, and we didn't run out of time. With that being said, I am the moderator, and I don't think maybe necessarily you should take me in moderation. I think you should love me or spit me out. There's an old one from the past. So, Steve, thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Thank you, Turtle. Thank you, Martez, for making it all happen and having the idea. Thank you, Swink, for being the human thesaurus, dictionary, and encyclopedia all rolled up into one. Thank you, Charlie, for bringing the cheese. And thank you, everybody, for allowing us into your ears. Yeah, all right, let's wrap this up. The Gorilla Position Special Edition Episode Podcast Preview AEW Double or Nothing this Sunday, May 26th. Yeah, Las Vegas, Nevada. Dig it. Good night, everybody.